ready to rethink church again today? It's been a couple of weeks since we've been doing our series, but I hope you're ready because we are continuing on in our series called Rethinking Church. And, you know, we started this last September, right? And our desire for the series is we want to go just beyond the common kind of familiar way of doing church. And we really want to explore God's heart for the church. We want to explore God's heart for SIBC. And as we gather together as a church family, we don't want to just, you know, be guided by church tradition or by just the good ideas that we might have. We really want the Scriptures, right, to be our foundation. We want Jesus to be our shepherd. We want the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And to that end, I think the series has been good for us. I don't know about you. It's been really good for me. I think that the different topics that we've been talking about have actually changed our thinking about church as we study the Bible and then compare it to what we see in the church today. And I think as a result, for those who have been around for most of the series, it looks like most of you have, I think God is giving us a new understanding of what it means to be the church, a new kind of paradigm, if you will. And it's not really a new paradigm, is it? Because it's a paradigm that's been written down for the last 2,000 years, right, in the Word of God. But friends, I believe that God is changing our understanding of what it means to be the church and how we are to gather together. You know, when I started this series back in September, I really had no idea that we were going to begin the process of moving out of this place. I thought we might eventually have to leave this building, but I thought it maybe was a year or so down the road. So I'm kind of got caught off guard. I wasn't ready to be beginning to move while we were still rethinking church. But as you know, in January, we began to sense that the Lord was leading us out of this place. And now we're in this season of change and transition. And though we don't really know where the Lord is leading us, we do know that where we will be meeting is probably going to change. But as I said before, the Lord's not only changing where we will meet, I think He's also beginning to change how we will meet. Right? How are we going to gather together as a church family? I think really that's the question for us every week. Right? As we reconsider, as we take time to rethink churches, how does the Lord want us to gather together? And maybe this is why God has actually caused these two things to come together at once, the series and the whole fact that we're getting ready to move out. You know, my original plan was I was going to do this series back in 2010, but I just kind of kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Maybe the Lord knew that it was in 2012 that we needed to talk about these things, because it seems like God is doing something. I think God is preparing us for a season of change. And while that's kind of a scary thing, I think it's also a good thing for us, as I think God is wanting to point us in a new direction. So friends, my prayer is that just this current message series, that through this current message series, that we would begin to think, all of us begin to think about maybe how church could be, or maybe how church should be. Now I understand that our current style of worship service, it might be kind of, you know, comfortable and familiar to us. You must like it if you keep coming here week after week, right? And I'm sure what we do here is probably a blessing to many people. And yet, as we've been looking at the New Testament during this series, friends, is what we do here each week really a reflection of God's heart for the church? Right? I mean, although we might enjoy how we gather together each week with the songs and the message and the way we do things, is this really God's heart for SIBC? And that's kind of a big question, but that's, as we enter into this season of transition, that's really the question I hope that we will all just be considering, be thinking about. I hope we will seriously consider just the things we've been talking about during this series. And you know, here at SIBC, we're really good at talking about things, but sometimes we have a hard time actually putting into practice, right, the things that we talk about. But I hope that as we're looking ahead to maybe moving into a new building, a new facility somewhere, that we might see that as a good opportunity for us to take the things we've been learning and studying and actually begin to think, how do these really apply to us here at SIBC? Well, we've had a lot of good topics over the course of the series, and in the weeks to come, we'll be rethinking things like worship and rethinking communion and rethinking baptism and rethinking prophecy and discipleship. We've got a whole bunch of things that we're still going to talk about. But friends, I know that sometimes change is scary. Right? We like what's familiar and we like what's comfortable, and yet this church belongs to who? Jesus, right? Right? And He is the one who's building SIBC, and so we want to look to Him and follow Him wherever He might lead, especially as we look ahead to this new season that He's leading us into. Is that right? Okay, again, amen? Thank you, thank you. So as we go through this season of change, my just challenge to all of us, let's continue to seek Jesus, not only where He wants us to meet, but how He wants us to meet. Okay, well, sorry for such a long introduction. Every once in a while, I kind of need to remind us why we're talking about these things and what God is doing. Today, as we continue rethinking church, I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, in the past, we have talked a lot about the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus, right? The Bible tells us Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us Jesus was empowered by the Spirit. Specifically, Jesus was given power to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. Right? But really, all of Jesus' earthly ministry was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then on the last night of Jesus' life, He was gathering together with His disciples one last time. And Jesus says that when He leaves, the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit to live in His followers. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost, right? We see that in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was given to those who believed in Jesus. And now the same Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus and empowered Jesus now lived in all Christians and now empowered all Christians, right? And this continues on for us even to this day, right? If you believe in Jesus, for all who believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Just like He did with Jesus, He's there to live in you, to empower you. Well, I think as Christians, we all know that, right? We all know the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We know that. And yet, friends, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit not only lives in us, but we can actually have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Have you ever really thought about having relationship with the Holy Spirit? You see, we often talk about having a relationship with God the Father, right? That's familiar to us. We even talk about having a relationship with God the Son, with Jesus. But in the same way, we can also have a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. We actually see this twice in the letters of Paul. Let me show you. Let me show you here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In English, it's verse 14. In Japanese, it's actually verse 13. For some reason, the Japanese version of 1 Corinthians 13 doesn't have verse 14. It's just, it stops one verse early. But anyway, Paul writes this. This is his final kind of prayer for the Corinthians. And Paul says, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Friends, in this prayer, Paul is expressing his desire for these Corinthian Christians, right, to actually have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Paul actually uses a similar phrase in Philippians 2:1, right? He talks again about having fellowship with the Spirit. Friends, according to Paul, it's possible for us to have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Right? As part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, he's God, right? But He's also a person. So in the same way that we can have fellowship with God, in the same way we can have fellowship with Jesus, we can also have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I know we don't often think about that or talk about that, but friends, that means that we can draw near to the Holy Spirit. That means we can spend time with the Holy Spirit. That means we can talk to the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit. We can love the Holy Spirit and worship the Holy Spirit. We can invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in friendship with the Holy Spirit. And so the question that I want us to consider today is, here at SIBC, do we have this kind of fellowship with the Holy Spirit? And I think that's maybe a good question, because sometimes when we gather together, it's easy to, I don't know what the right word is here, it's easy to forget, easy to neglect, maybe easy to ignore, that's too hard of a word. It's easy to forget, right, the Holy Spirit. You know, we come here, we often take time to worship God and we love God, right? We take time to talk to Jesus and listen to Jesus. And yet sometimes we forget that we can do those same things with the Holy Spirit as well. And I think that you'll agree it's pretty hard to have fellowship with someone if you don't take time to ever talk to them or listen to them or spend time with them, right? That's kind of what it means to have fellowship. So friends, here at SABC, we don't want to ignore or forget fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you why. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit does some pretty cool things in the life of the church. So let me just quickly share with you some of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the church. And I have five things that I want to share with you today. And actually, after doing these five, I thought of a couple more, but we'll just stick with these five today. But here we go. This is the things that the Holy Spirit does in the church. And the first thing is this, is the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Friends, we see this all over the New Testament. I think the first example that comes to mind is what verse? Right? It's Acts 1:8, right? After Jesus rose from the grave, He's speaking to His disciples and He says to them, He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Right? According to Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers us. We also see this in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, Paul is praying for the Christians there in Ephesus. And this is part of Paul's prayer. Paul says this, "I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being." You see that, friends? Right? There's an inner strength. A strength in our inner being that the Holy Spirit makes available to each and every one of us. Paul prays that the Holy Spirit would empower us. I think we see an example of this in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is the early Christians. They're taking time to seek the Lord and to pray, and they're coming before the Lord. And then when they're done praying, look at what happens. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "After they," the early Christians, "prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did what? They spoke the Word of God boldly." Friends, do you see that? What happened when they were filled with the Spirit? They spoke the Word of God boldly. You see, the Holy Spirit, it empowers us in our inner being. It empowers us and strengthens us. He gives us confidence and boldness and passion and power to live the Christian life and to be disciples of Jesus. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He empowers us. And yet, unfortunately, I think sometimes as Christians, we don't have that boldness. We don't have that confidence as we go through the Christian life. And rather, sometimes as Christians, we live these fearful, timid Christian lives and we have zero confidence at all to serve in the church or to do ministry or to tell other people about Jesus. And we might think, "Oh, well, that's just my personality, that's my character. By nature, I'm shy. By nature, I'm timid." Well, that might be true. I could definitely understand that. That might be part of my nature. But it's also true that the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen our inner being. The Holy Spirit wants to give us confidence and boldness as we go through the Christian life. And friends, for this reason, we want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because when we do, the Holy Spirit empowers us. So that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in the church. All right, here's the second thing, number two. The Holy Spirit teaches us. All right, Jesus made it very clear that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. All right, take a look here at John chapter 14. John 14, Jesus, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, and Jesus says, "But the Counselor," who's the Counselor? "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Right? So Jesus here says the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us of all things. Wow! Does anyone ever need to be reminded of the things that Jesus says? Yeah, I do, right? Well, the Holy Spirit does that. And that's why we need fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Right? During the same evening with His disciples, Jesus continued on. Jesus said this in chapter 16. Jesus says, "But when He," who's He? The Spirit of truth. "When He comes, He will guide you into all truth." Friends, the Holy Spirit, right, is the one who guides us into our truth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, Jesus promises, will be our teacher. You know, the Apostle Paul, I think, experienced this for himself. In writing to the Corinthians, he's talking about his ministry of preaching and teaching as he traveled around these different cities. And look at what Paul said. Paul says, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. See, friends, as Paul went around from churches, as he taught them, as he wrote letters that eventually became, you know, letters in the Bible, as he did these things, he wasn't making them up himself, right? He wasn't taught those things even by another person. Paul says that he did, those things were taught to him by the Spirit. Because, friends, that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit teaches us. He wants to be our teacher. He speaks to us. And by us, I don't just mean pastors or elders or church leaders. By us, I mean all of us. The Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. We all have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We all have that potential, the capacity to hear the voice of the Spirit. And therefore, as a church family, we want to listen to Him as He teaches us. Friends, for that reason, we don't want to forget to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Right? We need Him to be our teacher. Amen? Amen. Okay, you guys are alive. Number three. Third thing the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit equips us. The Holy Spirit equips us. Now specifically, the Holy Spirit equips us to do service. Or He equips us to do ministry in the body of Christ. Friends, the Holy Spirit gives us skills and talents and abilities for the specific purpose of building up the church family. Now, of course, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? Or as we often call them, spiritual gifts. Here's a list of the various spiritual gifts that we see listed in the Bible. Friends, these are the skills, the talents, the abilities that the Holy Spirit gives to various people in the body of Christ. Now, no one has all those gifts, but all of us have at least one of those gifts. Right? These are gifts given by the Holy Spirit. And what's the purpose of these gifts? Does He give us these gifts so that we can kind of use them, you know, to build ourselves up for our individual use? No. Right? Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12, that these gifts are given for the common good. Right? These gifts are given so that we can use them to serve one another and to build up the church. You see, friends, but in this way, the Holy Spirit, He's very interested in strengthening the church and in helping the church to grow. That's why He's given each one of us a various gift so that we can use it to help each other to grow and to strengthen one another. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But friends, you know what this means? This means that every one of these gifts are somehow necessary for the church to be strong and healthy. Right? If we're going to be a strong, healthy church, then maybe all of these gifts the Holy Spirit wants to give are necessary. And so if some of these gifts are missing, maybe that means that we're not as strong and healthy as the Spirit wants us to be. So when you look at this list of gifts, and the gift of list of gifts, do you see any on there that maybe are missing here at SABC? Right, do you see any on there that maybe aren't a part of our worship times together? I mean, as I look through that list, I see maybe, what, 6, 7, 8 that are not a regular part of our life together. Now, I don't say that to like criticize us or condemn us or any of that. But friends, we have to understand the Holy Spirit wants to equip us to serve and minister in all these ways. That's what He does, right? The Holy Spirit equips us. And so if we notice that maybe we're missing some of these in the life of the church, you know, the Bible tells us we can actually seek these things. Right? Paul says, 1 Corinthians 14, follow the way of love, good advice, but while you're doing that, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Especially the gift of prophecy. We'll talk about prophecy in a few weeks, but Paul says that it's okay. It's good. It's desirable that we eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Friends, I think it's possible to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the gifts that we need here at SIBC so that we can be a strong, healthy church. And friends, I think that's why it's important that we have fellowship with the Spirit. Right? As we walk in fellowship with the Spirit, as we walk in relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will equip us. He'll equip us with all the gifts that we need so that we can strengthen the church and we can help one another to grow. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in this church. Okay, let's continue on. Number four, the fourth work of the Spirit in the church. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us. Friends, Paul prays this wonderful prayer for the Ephesians. He has a couple of wonderful prayers for the Ephesians, but take a look at his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes this. Paul says, I keep asking. Not just once, but he keeps asking again and again, right? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know Him better. Friends, according to Paul, how do we know God better? How do we know God more? How do we go into deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father? Paul says it's by revelation and wisdom through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals God to us. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You might think, oh good, I can just sit on my sofa all day and when the Holy Spirit's ready, He'll reveal God to me. Well, I don't know if it quite works that way. Because, friends, in our desire to know God, I think there is a place for human effort. Right? I think we do have a responsibility. Right? I think we have responsibility to spend time, right, with the Lord. I think we have responsibility to read the Scriptures. I think we have the responsibility to open up our heart to God. I think we have a responsibility to express our desire to know Him more. I think that's our part. I think that's an important part. But as we do that, we see it's the Holy Spirit who actually reveals God to us. And friends, this is important because as we gather together here on Sunday morning, we want to meet with God, right? We want to encounter God more and more. We even sing songs like, I want to know You. I want to hear Your voice. I want to know You more. You know, we sing those songs and they're great songs to sing and it's great when we come here with that kind of hungry heart. But friends, we have to sing. We have to see it's the Holy Spirit that makes that a reality. Holy Spirit is the one who gives us revelation from God, revelation of God. And for that reason, we long for fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we long for the Spirit to reveal God to us. Okay. One more work of the Holy Spirit in the church. And that's this. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. To illustrate this, I could show you examples of Jesus and how Jesus was led by the Spirit in His ministry. I could show you examples of Paul from the book of Acts where he was led by the Holy Spirit to go here or not go there. But instead, let me just show you one verse from Galatians 5. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us, I love this phrase, keep in step with the Spirit. I like that phrase, keep in step with the Spirit. Right? Every time I read this, it reminds me of a marching band, right? I think I've shared this with you before, but you know, with a marching band, there's always a band leader out front, right? And he's the guy who sets the tempo. He's the one who's marching and everyone else follows him. Everyone else keeps in step with the band leader. And if he stops, they stop. If he goes, they go. If he goes right, the whole band goes right. If he goes left, the band goes left. See, everyone's just watching that leader. What's this guy called? A drum major? That was called? Anyway, they're watching this leader guy, and they just follow him. They keep in step with him. As he steps, they step. Friends, and I think that's the way it is in the church. Right? We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So we watch the Holy Spirit. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We see what the Holy Spirit is doing, and then we do the same thing. Right? We follow what He does. So even when we gather together here on Sunday, rather than just do what we want to do in the worship service, We really want to look to the Spirit and listen to the Spirit so that we can go His direction and not our own. And so when the Holy Spirit leads us to worship, we worship. And when He leads us to pray, we pray. And when He leads us to give, we give. When He leads us to serve, we serve. When He leads us to love, we love. But in that way, we want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Because if we let Him, He will guide us. Okay, so here are the five things that the Holy Spirit does in the church. And like I said, we could probably add a couple of more to this list. But friends, these are the things the Holy Spirit wants to do here at SIBC. I believe these five things reflect at least part of God's heart for the church. And yet the question I think we need to ask ourselves today is this. Is the Holy Spirit actually doing these things? Here at SIBC, do we live in this reality? Right? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us and to teach us and to equip us and to reveal God to us and to guide us? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to do these things in the church? Do we experience these things here at SIBC? Do we want to experience these things here at SIBC? Are we hungry to see the Holy Spirit do these things when we gather together each week? Friends, I think those are important questions to ask because I think this is who God wants the church to, how do I say this? I think these things describe what the church is supposed to be, or it describes the way life in church is supposed to be. You see, friends, we need to remember the Holy Spirit, or that the church was born on the day the Holy Spirit was poured out, right? On the day of Pentecost. And I don't think that's a coincidence. So I think it was the Holy Spirit that actually gave birth to the church. I think that the Holy Spirit is just part of the church's DNA. We cannot be the church. We cannot be the church and do what churches do without the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Right? God designed the church so that the Holy Spirit would really be central to what we do each time we gather together. Right? The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers and teaches and equips and reveals God and guides us. That's the way the church is supposed to be. But unfortunately, over the centuries, I think we have Christians, or at least my stream of Christianity, has become really good at designing worship services that really don't allow the Holy Spirit to do much of anything. Yeah, of course the Holy Spirit, he always can and does work whenever Christians gather together. But you know, for me, this has really been a huge struggle the last couple of years. You see, as you sit here each week, and as you sing, and as you listen to the message, I don't know what kind of impression you have of the worship service. Obviously, you kind of must like it because you keep coming back, right? Thank you very much. Right? But you know, from my perspective, from someone who's kind of standing up here, usually on the stage the entire worship service, from my perspective, friends, the things we do here each Sunday, they're pretty much prepared and planned and carried out by man. Usually me, right? And I don't say that as a pride thing. I kind of say that as a shameful sort of thing. Now, of course, as I prepare to lead worship, I'm seeking God and trying to, God, lead me. What songs do you want us to sing? And as I prepare the message, I ask God to lead me and speak to me. And Holy Spirit, what's on your heart for the people? So I try to include the Lord in my preparation, planning time. And yet once the service starts, once the clock hits 10:30, it's showtime. And everything for the next 90 minutes is pretty much planned. Right? We have a plan. We type it out here, right? It has all the different songs that we sing in the order. And are we going to sing Japanese and then English and then English chorus and Japanese chorus? We have it all planned out. Even the message is all written out word for word, mostly because I can send it to the translator so they know what I'm going to be talking about. But we have a plan and we follow that plan exactly. Everything we do has been planned and prepared by us. Now, I don't want to be hard on us or hard on myself because I think the way we do church here is probably pretty common. Most churches probably prepare and plan their services as much as we do. And I'll acknowledge that God can still meet us and He can still encourage us and help us to grow and He can still bless us right through our times together. But friends, in the last few years there's been a growing hunger in my heart for something more. Right? I'm hungry to gather together in such a way where the Holy Spirit is really in control of our meeting and not me. Right? Rather than make the Holy Spirit keep in step with our plan, right? I want us to learn, I want to learn how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit and follow His plan. Friends, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do these five things here at SIBC more than we can imagine. Right? If we've experienced any of these things, and I think we've experienced all of them, friends, we've just experienced the tip of the iceberg of what God and the Holy Spirit have available to us. So friends, I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit to empower us and to teach us and to equip us and to guide us and to reveal the Father to us whenever we gather together. You see, but I think in order for this to happen, I think two things maybe need to happen from our side. First, we need to learn how to have fellowship with the Spirit. We need to learn how to look to Him and listen to Him and talk to Him and draw near to Him and welcome Him and invite Him and give Him the freedom to work in us and through us. We need that fellowship with the Spirit. But friends, second, I think we need to maybe rethink how we gather together. Right? And I think one of the first things that maybe it might be good for us to rethink is just this whole stage thing we got going here. We got the stage, we got these lights, we got the microphone. And you know what happens when you have one person standing on a stage with a microphone and lights? You know what happens? You follow that person. You expect that person maybe to have the plan. You think that they're listening to God, they're following the Spirit, you hope, and then you're just following that person. That's just kind of the way it is when we have this kind of setup. But here's the deal. What happens if God were to speak to Carolyn? And the Holy Spirit was to speak to Carolyn what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in the meeting. There's no opportunity for Carolyn to express that or to say, hey, I think, you know, the Spirit wants to do this. Because unless she's part of the plan, unless she's someone up here on the stage, there's really no opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to anyone else. But friends, see, that's the deal. The Holy Spirit lives in each of us, right? We're all priests, right? We all have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We all can hear the voice of the Spirit. And so I think the Holy Spirit can and wants to speak to all of us. And so maybe when we gather together, maybe we need to gather in such a way where it's not just two or three people who have the plan, but we gather in such a way where there's interaction between one another. Where everyone has an opportunity to share what the Holy Spirit might be saying to them, where everyone has an opportunity to participate. Because then, as the Holy Spirit begins to speak to this person or that person or that person, they can begin to share that with the group and we can begin to get a sense the Holy Spirit wants us to go this way. And then we can follow and we can keep in step. You know, one of the options that the moving committee is considering, we have like five options that we're considering. We'll maybe share these with you next Sunday. But one of the options we're considering is a meeting in someone's house. Right? Specifically, we're thinking about meeting in Noji's home. He has a pretty big living room, pretty big area for us to meet in. So we're thinking about that. But just imagine for a moment that we're all maybe sitting in someone's living room. Right? It's a big living room. We're sitting around. Maybe we have a time of worship. Maybe it's followed by a time of teaching. And then let's say after that we just took time to be still before the Lord. And during that time we ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to do. We look to Him and we listen to Him and we wait on Him. And then as people begin to hear from the Holy Spirit, they could just begin to share with the group. Oh, maybe the Holy Spirit wants us to spend time doing this or do that. Friends, and in this way the Holy Spirit, not a man, not a plan, but the Holy Spirit would begin to lead and guide our time together. And friends, because the Holy Spirit then would be in control of that time, I believe we would begin to see more and more of this. He would have the freedom to empower us and to teach us and to equip us and to guide us and to reveal God to us. Friends, and I think as we did that, if we were to do that, I think we would grow. We would be encouraged. We would be built up. Right? I think the Holy Spirit would bring life into this church just as the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church, the early church in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2. I believe the Holy Spirit would breathe fresh life into SIBC. And not only would we be blessed and encouraged and grow and mature, I think we would begin to bear fruit as a church family, both within the church and outside the church, like never before. You see, but I think the first step is learning how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I think that's God's heart for His church. So this morning, as I close, I want to ask just a series of questions for you to think about. And I ask these not to condemn us or not to make you feel, not to make us feel guilty or not to criticize us. So just whatever you're thinking, just put that aside, all right? That's not the purpose. Rather, I ask these questions maybe in a desire to stir up hunger in our hearts. I ask these questions in order to stir up a desire for us to go deeper in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So listen carefully to these questions, and then in just a moment, as we go into our time of worship and prayer and communion, maybe you can use these questions as the starting point for just a dialogue between you and God. Right? You can just talk to the Holy Spirit about maybe some of these things. But listen to some of these questions. As a church family, do we value the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit? When we gather together, is there a hunger to know the presence of the Spirit in this place? How often do we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us and to empower us? Do we eagerly desire spiritual gifts so that we can use those gifts to serve one another and build up the church? Do we look to the Spirit to be our teacher and to lead us into all truth? When we come here each week, do we come with a heart that's ready to worship the Spirit and listen to the Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit? Friends, as a church family, do we long to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I think those are some good questions for us to think about. You see, friends, we don't want to just do church by our own human effort, our own human strength. As a church, we belong to Jesus. We are His body. He promised to build His church, and to keep His promise, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is Jesus' gift to us. And as we embrace that gift and receive that gift, these are the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst as we gather together. So friends, as a church family, let's begin the journey of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So instead of me praying at the end of the message today, I want to just give you the opportunity to pray, talk to God yourself, right? As we take this time, just these few minutes here, I want to encourage you just to draw near to God, right? Talk to your Father, talk to Jesus, talk to the Holy Spirit. Right, the worship team is going to begin to play some songs, but if you just want to ignore us and just take time just to seek the Lord, then that's fine with us. Go for it. Right, we're also going to take time for communion. Right, anytime during these next three songs, just when you are ready, after you've talked to the Father, after you've confessed your sins, you can just make your way over here, tear off the bread, dip it into the juice, and you can receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to forgive us our sins when we repent. If you would like to give your offering this morning, that's another way you can worship God. You can do that. The offering box is in the back of the room. But friends, this is your 10 minutes. This is your time to meet with God in a way that's meaningful, in a way that's helpful to you. So let's take some time to draw near.